O woman, great is your faith. What a loving mother. An amazing woman she must have been, this woman from Cana. In her three poignant statements, we hear the cry of every mother, every father, anyone who's worried about a child's health. Let us again listen to the words of this amazing woman. First, upon catching sight of Jesus, she shouts, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." We might wonder, what was that demon? Mental illness or disease or something that was throwing her off balance. And then this woman, despite the complaints of the disciples, she persists, "Lord, help me." And then finally responds to Jesus with a desperate but clever rebuttal. "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." This woman's persistent prayer no doubt impresses Jesus, who is amazed at her faith and comforts her and cures her daughter. And if we may apply briefly an Ignatian imagination, let us imagine the scene right here. The woman crying, begging, kneeling before Jesus, and then the healing takes place. Don't you think Jesus would have embraced her with tears in his eyes for this amazing woman, and with tears in her eyes, and tears in the daughter's eyes? She had been set free from the darkness of the demon. She had been set free, and this woman has offered a new awareness to Jesus and to the mission. Now, it's important to know that scripture scholars consider this encounter of Jesus with this Canaanite Gentile woman as not just a miracle, another miracle story, for it represents the way in which Jesus was called to the healing and proclamation of his ministry beyond the Jews, responding to the prayerful pleas of this Gentile woman and heals a Gentile girl. We see a new mission developing, being revealed for Jesus. You see, the woman from the land of Canaan, which is modern-day Lebanon, is about 40 miles from here to, say, Baltimore, was a land of hostility towards Jews. There was a way in which they worshiped false gods. Hence, Jesus' cautious response. It was another world, and he didn't think miracles could happen there, or did he trust it? But this persistent, prayerful woman made it happen. In listening and responding to the pleas of this mother, the ministry of Jesus takes on a new purpose. It now extends to the whole world, indeed, the entire universe. St. Matthew uniquely captures this purpose later in his gospel. Indeed, at the very end, he ends the gospel with the words, "Go therefore," Jesus says to his disciples, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The encounter today with this Canaanite woman reverberates to the end of the gospel, indeed, to the end of the world. Notice how the other readings speak to this statement. This gospel themes of diversity is complemented by other readings, which I suggest how the Jews were called to encounter and be open to foreign peoples. From Isaiah we hear, quote, "The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to them, loving the name of the Lord, becoming his servants." Do you see how the imagination of the Jews are being invited to stretch beyond the Jewish world? Again, this Canaanite woman is setting the seeds. If you will, we might call her the patron saint of diversity. As she raised faith to a new consciousness, a global consciousness, which is our Catholic faith. Remember, the word Catholic means universal, showing a great deal of diversity and variety. This is what our origins of our faith is. The compassion of a mother stretching the imagination of the mission of Jesus. And also Paul captures this. Remember, he is the minister, the disciple, the apostle to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, those foreigners. He says, I'm speaking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I glory in my ministry in order to make my race, Judaism, jealous, and thus save some of them. And Paul concludes that God may have mercy upon all, not just Jews, not just later Christians, but all peoples, all creations, all nations. This is the mission of our Catholic faith, developing a wider perspective of the mission of Christ. This is our call today. Of course, the challenge of diversity, of universal love, is easier said than done. It is a challenge not just for we Catholics, but for all peoples. Certainly, at this time, our nation is especially challenged toward a greater understanding of the many and diverse peoples, many of whom have been and continue to be treated unjustly. And so I find a great symbol of the presence of unity amidst diversity in the solar eclipse, which will cover a broad swath of our nation tomorrow. From Oregon to South Carolina, millions will experience a total eclipse, and many millions, such as ourselves, will experience the partial eclipse of our sun by the moon. Are you prepared for it? Where? How will you experience the eclipse of the sun, the shadow of the moon, whether total or partial, is indeed a rare event. And it offers our nation a profound, indeed, a sacred image, a metaphor of how the shadows of darkness does at times overcome the light. As you experience it tomorrow, what will you think? What will you feel as you see it, feel it, the temperatures going lower? Might it lead to a prayer for our world and our nation? The great Jewish theologian Martin Buber used this metaphor, the solar eclipse, to speak of the eclipse of God. At the time he was writing during World War II, in the darkness of World War II, it seemed that the light of God's love was overshadowed by the darkness of hatred, most visible for the Jew and the Holocaust. But Buber, the believer in God's faithful covenant, did assert that just as the sun's light eventually will overcome the shadow of the moon, so too will the light of God's love overcome the darkness of human hatred. Today's readings, tomorrow's solar eclipse, then, offer an invitation, indeed a challenge, to we Catholics, to we Christians, as we are called to go forth to live and teach the compassion and understanding of Jesus Christ to all the peoples in our nation and on our planet Earth. We are given an opportunity to ponder our place across this magnificent and diverse nation and on this beautiful yet vulnerable planet. Perhaps some of you are familiar with the radio program On Being, hosted each Sunday morning by Kristen Tippett. Recently, she interviewed the civil rights leader, Ruby Sales, who, when asked about the crisis of diversity facing our nation now, remarked, quote, "What it means to be human. We live in a very diverse world. And to talk about what it means to be human is to talk about the simultaneous tongue of universality and particularities. So as a black person, to talk about what it means It's my experience as an African-American person, but also to talk about my experiences that transcends being an African-American to the universal experience. So I think we've got to stop thinking about humanity as if it's a monolithic. We've got to wrap our consciousness around a world where people bring to the world vastly different histories and experiences. But at the same time, a world where we experience grief and love in some of the same ways. So how do we develop theologies that weave together the I with the we and the we with the I? As peoples of faith, as citizens of these United States, we are challenged at times, especially at this time in our history. But through prayers and prophets, through conversations and legislations, we can believe that the light will overcome the shadows of strife that darkens our world. Inspired by then this compassionate and determinate Canaanite mother and woman, we can move to be united amidst our diversity, to understand one another despite our differences. I would like to conclude with an image, that of the child, the daughter who was healed, who perhaps was like the young orphan Annie, who when faced with challenges would say, when I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I stick out my chin and grin. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're always a day away. Enjoy the solace, enjoy the sun.